This podcast is brought to you by Living Waters Church, Kyabram.
You can visit us at www.lwkyabram.com.
Night Open Doors. And we know that there's an organisation in our world called Open Doors, and I'm not preaching about Open Doors. We're not going to take an Open Doors offering or something like that. The guy's just been talking to me about the fact that how praise and worship actually opens doors into new realms for us. And so I want to talk about praise and worship tonight. And wasn't that a good time of just being in his presence? You know, I can just hang out in his presence all day. You know, but my fingers were getting sore. You know, when you only play every now and again, it's like, especially, is Andrea still here? Especially when you play songs all in the same key. It's like your fingers just go, they don't want to move anymore. So where's Josiah? His fingers are so bad he's left. Probably down at the emergency at the moment, having a finger transplant. But one of the things I'm always impressed about, the fact that you know, praise actually opens doors to the spiritual realm. God actually says it this way, and this I don't fully get the understanding of it, and I haven't fully got the revelation of it, but he says he enthrones the praise of his people. He inhabits the praise of his people. And I love the fact, and I think a little bit of a secret of that, is that he declares that where two or three meet together in his name, he's in the midst of us. And so, you know, a number of years ago, I came to the conclusion that part of what I'm made for and part of what you're made for, if you're a human being in this place, and I believe there are human beings in this place, yes, any humans? Give me a wave if you're human. Well, not everyone waved. That is a bit of a worry, but anyway, is, you know, I believe we're actually designed to be in relationship with him. We're designed to be in relationship with God, and until we enter that relationship, we don't really find the full purpose of life. And part of that relationship is I get to sing praises to God. I get to express my thanks to him, and sometimes I've heard it said over the years that God demands your praise. And, you know, I actually don't think God is so much like where he's the God where he says, Lynette, you must worship me or you're going to get it. He actually invites us into a relationship with him where we're able to enter into such an intimate relationship with him that through that worship comes and through that praise comes. So let's, if you've got your Bibles, let's turn to Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. So Acts chapter 16, we're going to read from verse 16. It said, once when we were going up to the place of prayer, we were met by a female slave who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. She earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune telling. She followed Paul and the rest of us shouting, these men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved. She kept this up for many days. Finally, Paul became so annoyed that he turned around and said to the Spirit, in the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her. At that moment, the Spirit left her. Verse 19, when her owners realized that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to face the authorities. They brought them before the magistrates and said, these men are Jews and are throwing our city into an uproar by abdicating customs unlawful for us Romans to accept or practice. The crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten with rods. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into the prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. When he received these orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in stocks. About midnight, what time was it? About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open and everyone's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Do not harm yourself. We are all here." The jailer called for lights, rushed in and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them out and asked, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? They replied, Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household. When they spoke then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in his house. At that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Then immediately he and all his household were baptized. The jailer brought them into his house and set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole house. When it was daylight, the magistrates sent their officers to the jailer with the order, release those men. The jailer told Paul, the magistrate has ordered that you and Silas be released. Now you can leave, go in peace. But Paul said to the officer, they beat us publicly without a trial, even though we are Roman citizens and threw us into the prison, and now they want to get rid of us quietly? No, let them come themselves and escort us out. The officers reported this to the magistrates, and when they heard that Paul and Silas were Roman citizens, they were alarmed. They came to appease them and escorted them from the prison, requesting them to leave the city. After Paul and Silas came out of prison, they went to Lydia's house, where they met with the brothers and sisters and encouraged them. Then they left. God, we just want to ask that as we, Lord, delve into your word tonight, that it'll be life and health to us. Lord, we thank you that your word says it's living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. Lord, that your word is food for us. And so we ask tonight that our spirits would be fed in this place. Lord, that we would be challenged, Lord, by your word, in your wonderful name. Amen. I actually enjoy this story, you know, because there's a number of things that are happening in this account. And first of all, one of the things I see is that, Paul and Silas are actually thrown in jail and falsely accused of what happened. And there was a moment where, and we read it in the scripture, and we have to be careful of this in our lives, and we have to be careful of this in today's society, where it says the whole crowd was basically whipped into a frenzy, and all of a sudden the crowd began to shout. And basically what happened was, because of the mob mentality of the crowd, Paul and Silas were thrown in jail without a trial. And can I encourage you tonight, and this is a little bit of a side aspect to my message tonight, but I think it's important, and I think the Holy Spirit has laid it on my heart, and I need to mention it tonight, is we have to be careful of the crowd mentality. You know, because what happens is, if we're not careful, the crowd just gets whipped up into a frenzy. You know, there's a movie, and I mentioned it before I went off to England and a little while ago, a movie called 42, and it's about the first Negro American baseball player to make it in the big leagues. And what had basically happened is, as he was rising up through the ranks, he's playing baseball and there's this young boy, he would have been about 12 or 13, sitting next to his dad. And as the number 42, I forget his name, but as he gets up, sorry? Jackie Robinson, that's him. As Jackie Robinson gets up to the plate, that in this movie, the dad starts yelling abuse at him and calling him all sorts of racial slurs. And his son's looking at him as if to say, what are you doing? What are you doing in that moment? Because that's one of the things I love about kids, is they're innocent. If a human's a human, they're a human. You know, it doesn't matter the color of skin and all that sort of stuff. But the dad's there yelling racial abuse at him, and he's telling him, go home, you're not welcome, and that sort of stuff. And then all of a sudden, this little boy starts yelling the same abuse that his dad's yelling at Jackie as he goes up to the plate to bat. And basically what happens is, if we're not careful, the mob mentality kicks in. And it can be no different in our lives. A place like TC, I'm sure the mob mentality happens some days. So, you know, we need to be careful of that, you know, because, you know, the mentality, this is what the Bible says, we should have the mind of Christ. And when we've got the mind of Christ, you know what? If we had the mind of Christ, everything would be okay. Everything would be okay. So the other thing I see in this story before we get to Paul and Silas in jail was the reason they were in jail was that they were in the city and they were preaching, and there was this servant girl walking around behind them everywhere they went, and she's going, these men are the servants of the Most High. They've come to tell you about salvation. And everywhere they went, this girl followed them and was saying these words. And the Bible says that Paul got so sick of her. Anyone had that nagging voice? Anyone had that nagging voice where it's just like it won't leave you alone and you want to pick it up and put it in a bin or something? You know, you want to deal with that voice. Well, Paul, after many days, it says Paul was so sick of this girl's yelling at them and saying the same thing over and over and over and over and over, over and over and over and over and over and over. And I'm annoying some of you now, and that's what happened to Paul. But it was over and over and over and over that Paul turned around and he said, "Come out in the name of Jesus Christ," and the spirit left her. But what had happened was that created a problem for her minders or her owners, the people that owned this poor girl, this slave girl, because all of a sudden they realized that they'd lost their source of income. In actual fact, the Bible says that they were very wealthy because of her. Now, in the Bible, in the NIV, which is the version I read it from, it just said that she had a spirit. If you look back at the original language for that word spirit, it's more than just a spirit. The Bible actually says this, that she had a python spirit. Or an oracle spirit. She had the spirit of Python or the spirit of an orator or an oracle spirit, one who could see the future, one who could see. But it wasn't just a gift that she had. The type of spirit she had was actually one called the Python spirit. And I was thinking about that because how does a python operate? A python operates by giving you a hug. It will squash the living life out of you. It will place you, the object of the python's crush is to restrict you so that you can't breathe and you can't move to a point where you are incapable of escaping its clutches and then eventually you will die. So I think it's significant that this girl did not just have a spirit, but she had the spirit of Python. Now, if you want to look it up when you go home and all that sort of stuff, you'll find that tradition says that Apollos married Pythoness or something like that, and this spirit was produced according to Greek legend and that sort of stuff. But, you know, we can read here that it was actually a demonic spirit that this girl had living in her life. It was a spirit of divination. And so these men, see, I think it's interesting because she's saying the truth. Sometimes I have people say to me, and it disturbs me, they say, well, the devil is the father of lies and he can't speak the truth. I actually don't believe that's true. I actually think the devil can speak the truth. You know, and when I was little, I was taught, not by my mum, because hopefully my mum knew better than this, but I was taught when I was little by, I don't know who, but someone said to me once, you know, that the devil's the father of lies, and every time he speaks, he's speaking lies. This girl is speaking through a demonic spirit, and they're saying, these men are servants of the Most High God. They've come to tell you the way to salvation. I want to tell you, that's truth. They spoke truth. This spirit spoke truth. And this is the danger, because if we don't understand that the devil can speak truth, and it's important we deal with the devil in the way that sometimes he speaks truth, if we're not careful, we will hear truth and think that must be God's voice when it's not God's voice. Let's go to Luke chapter 4, because Jesus gave us another example of this. Luke chapter 4 and verse 41, it says, "Moreover, demons came out of many people shouting, 'You are the Son of God.'" Is that the truth? Here's Jesus casting demons out of people, and as they come out, they're declaring, "Jesus, you are the Son of God." Look at the way Jesus dealt with it, because he's our example. He rebuked them and would not allow them to speak because they knew he was the Messiah. See, I think this is part of an example that Jesus has to us. I don't reckon we should allow the devil to speak to our lives. You know, sometimes people say to me, "Oh, the devil's whispering in my ear." Why are we allowing him to whisper in our ear? Why are we giving him credit? Why are we even allowing him to speak in our presence? Because I want to tell you, if Jesus Christ dealt with the devil at the cross, if he defeated him at the cross, then I think we need to stand our dig with the authority that we have, and we need to declare, no, devil, you are not to speak in my presence. Because the danger is if we allow him to speak, or if we allow a spirit to speak to us and they speak some truth, eventually they will lead us to a lie. So I actually think Jesus' example to us is really good, where he just says, no, he rebuked them and said, you are not to speak. I've had opportunities where I've been in situations where I've cast demons out of people and the demons want to enter into a conversation with you. I've had that happen. Where they want to enter into a conversation. I mean, I have one example, and I don't know whether you believe in demonic spirits or not, but I want to tell you, I've seen 16-year-old girls talking to me with voices of 40-year-old men. Had one girl there one day where she could turn around, bite herself on her back. That's not normal. This same girl, she was, as we were casting this demon out of her, she was spitting this green bile at us, trying to scare us, trying to intimidate, trying to get us to back down. And in the end, it was trying to get us to enter into a conversation with us. It was starting to ask us questions about what was going to happen and that. And then it clicked. I thought, I'm not meant to be talking to this demon. I'm meant to be casting the thing out. So I said, in the name of Jesus Christ, shut up and get out. And you know what? It left in that moment. It left in that moment. We need to take the authority that God's given us. I mean, why would we want to talk to them? So we live in a world that's so, the demonic's okay. We've just been through Halloween. And you know what? The demonic's okay. You know, it's becoming popular. It's becoming a thing where it's okay. We have in our town, we have the psychic expo. We have the pythons come. But the python only wants to restrict. The python only wants to squeeze life out of us. The python only wants to put us in a place of restrictions so that what happens is where it's like we're not able to achieve, the breath is squeezed out of us. And I think it's interesting that when a python squeezes something, that's the thing that the breath goes. The breath goes. You know, and so it gets to a point where there's no... because of the restriction around the chest cavity and the lungs. And you know what? If I want to praise God with my voice, I need breath. And so here's Paul. He deals with a python spirit. And then when he's put into another place of restriction, because he went from casting out this restrictive spirit, and then all of a sudden the crowd was whipped up into a frenzy. And then what happened was they were placed into another place of restriction called prison, where they were locked in stocks, where their feet were bound and they were put in the middle of the prison. But you know what? They refused to allow their restrictive circumstance to restrict their voice. So Paul and Silas dealt with a restrictive spirit, and then because they did that, what happened was they were also placed into a place of restriction. But I think for us to be out of our restrictive situations, because there's lots of stuff in life that wants to restrict us. You know, anxiety wants to restrict us. You know, fear wants to restrict us. You know, things like our circumstances want to restrict us. Finances want to restrict us. And there's lots of stuff that want to restrict us. And I reckon we need to learn from Paul and Silas's, because what they did was they were in the deepest, darkest, most restricted place of the prison. And when it was midnight, you know what? They're singing, oh, praise the name of the Lord Most High. I don't know whether you can put yourself in that situation. Can you imagine if you were one of the other prisoners? And all of a sudden, the bloke next to you is starting to say, oh, praise the name. I don't know about you, but I'm getting annoyed. What is there in this place that's worth praising God over? That's what would be in my heart. And yet Paul and Silas are saying, no, come on, oh, praise the name. And in the darkest hour of the night, in the most restrictive place of the prison, they refused to have their voice silenced. And what they did was they sang out even more. With backs broken open by rods that had beat them, you know, they were probably there naked. I don't know, because they said they were stripped and beaten with rods and they were bound and they were put in the darkest, deepest part of the prison, but they refused to have their praise taken away. And I guess my challenge to you tonight is, what are you allowing to have your praise taken away? Because there is moments in life where there's the last thing I've wanted to do is praise. The last thing I've wanted to do is open my mouth and say, oh, praise the name of the Lord Most High. You know, and so we need to understand that there's things that will come to squeeze our voice out of us, to squeeze our praise. That's the moment we need to praise all the more. That's the moment we need to sing all the more. That's the moment we need to give God glory and honor to his name. Because I want to tell you, it's easy to praise him in the good times. It's easy to praise him in the middle of a Hillsong conference. It's easy to praise him here on a Saturday night. It's easy to praise him when everything's well. It's easy to praise him when you get to your bank account and someone's deposited money into it that you didn't know about. Easy then, is it not? I think it's easy then. What was that? Never happens. Oh, yes, it does. Before we went away on holidays, because we took a bit of a step to go away on holidays, I walked in my office and there was an envelope on my desk that just had Pastor Trevor on it, for your holiday. Opened it up and there was money in it. Easy to praise God that day. Thank you, Jesus. And whoever that was, thank you. You know, because what it did was, it was right time. It was good. It helped us. It got us over a hurdle. Easy to praise God that day. I was driving home from a board meeting I had up in Echuca the other week and just drove down Allen Street. It was about 11 o'clock at night, because board meetings in churches go so long some days, do they not? I don't know. I don't know what it is with boards and churches. I think they like the sound of their own voice some days. But we don't have long board meetings, do we? No. This is the cutoff time. Anyway, I'm driving home, driving down here, and I drive past the road that's down there and I see the blue lights behind me. And I think, cool, they're doing a breathalyzer, and I enjoy doing breathalyzers because I don't drink. So it's always an honor when the officer comes and says, you've been drinking tonight? And I go, no, let me blow in that sucker because I know I'm okay. And then he goes, does the breathalyzing. And then he goes, is there any reason your registration is not paid? And I went, what? Oh, praise the name. Oh, my God. And I went, are you sure? And he went, yep. And I went, oh. And then I did the cardinal sin. I said, my wife pays the regos. Which is 100% true, is it not? Yeah. What I'm going to say now is my wife pays the regos most times. And I didn't realise, but they actually write it on the fine. When they ask you that question, be careful how you answer, because they write that on the fine. Because when I got the fine in my hand, which was a $700-something, when I got it, I'm reading it and it says, what was the reason given? It says, wife normally pays fines. So, oh, okay, I'm going to remember that for next time. I'm going to say something better, like the dog ate it, or I don't know, something different. And so, you know, it's in those moments where it's like, how do we react? I went home and I said to Lynette, is our rego paid? Because she's normally really good, but apparently something happened and it wasn't paid. But the good news is, because I've always paid my regos and we have multiple regos, Lynette wrote a really nice letter to them and they came back and they cancelled the fine. So again, easy to say, oh, praise the name. In that moment, easy to say, oh, praise the name. Easy when things are okay. But when we're in that restrictive place, when we're in that place where it's like, I feel uncomfortable, is our voice the same in that moment as it is in the other? So we need to praise regardless of circumstance. And I actually reckon, because we see it here, that as Paul and Silas praised in the place of restriction, the restriction was opened. I love the fact that the Bible says suddenly there was an earthquake and the prison doors opened. That's a miracle, is it not? That is a miracle, because as they're in the deepest, darkest place of the prison, singing, oh, praise the name of the Lord Most High, God came through them in this aspect where there was an earthquake, prison doors opened. But you know what? There was a number of other miracles that happened. And one of them was this, was that there was other prisoners there. And when the doors opened, guess what? They stayed. Because what happened, the reason I know that is because when the jailer realized what had happened, he drew his sword to kill himself because he knew that would happen if he was the jailer on duty and the prisoners got out and he saw the doors open. And so he naturally thought the prisoners has escaped. And so he drew his sword and Paul goes, hang on, we're all here. We're all here. We're still here. And I actually reckon that was another miracle that happened. See, what happens is praise actually helps us to shake off the restriction. But praise opens doors. But what praise also does is it provides us with opportunities to share about the goodness of God. Praise, our worship, the way we react to situations that happen. You know, I actually genuinely believe that that policeman that night was genuinely surprised. Because at the end of it, when he gave me the ticket, I said, thank you for that. Have a great night. And I smiled at him all the way through. And then as he's leaving, I said, so how do I get home? Because I know, because I've seen motorway patrol. I'm glad I wasn't on motorway. Imagine that. It could be, that would have been funny. That would have been real funny. Not. This is what he said to me. He said, I cannot tell you to drive because it's against the law to drive. And he could book me again. So I cannot tell you to drive. He said, but if you wait until we go back, I will not be along this road again tonight. And I went, what? And he went, jumped in his car and drove off. And then I went, oh, yeah, hang on. I see what you're saying. Bit slow some days. See, praise actually gives us opportunities to share about the goodness of God. And the result of praise was, I believe, not only did the jailer receive salvation, which is an amazing thing, but his family did as well. And not only that, praise elevated Paul and Silas from the prison to the jailer's home, where they were, wounds were dressed, healing came, and they were fed as well. Something significant happened that night, because the jailer responded that way, and it was brought about because of praise. Can I encourage you that praise takes you out of that place of restriction? Because the restrictions want to take our praise. They want to squeeze. The python spirit wants to take our praise. Let's all stand up. We're just going to sing tonight. We're just going to praise. We're just going to finish with a song.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast from Living Waters Church, Kyabram.
Don't forget, you can find us at www.lwkyabram.com.